You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. On a Friday, commentator Gary Borders joins us to recall the first time he saw the world in focus. A half century ago, he became a fixture of the Four Eyes Club and has long appreciated his bespectacled existence.
A nephew and I were comparing notes the other day about the first time we put on glasses and saw the world in all its beauty. Both of us were about the same age, 8 years old. For me, that means a half century of wearing spectacles, for him a lot less. Without them, I'm at the mercy of errant barbers who take off my glasses before the trim and then ask me what do I think about the results. How would I know? Children can make funny faces at me with impunity. Pretty much anything, much beyond arm's length, is a blur without glasses. Years ago, I read The River of Doubt, a nonfiction account of Theodore Roosevelt's harrowing 18-month journey down a tributary of the Amazon that had never been explored. He was 55 at the time and trying to recover from losing a presidential campaign. The author describes Roosevelt's famous nearsightedness, which made him a mediocre marksman at best. I looked the passage up the other day, what Roosevelt said about the first time he put on glasses and the world came into focus. Those glasses, he wrote, literally opened an entirely new world to me. I had no idea how beautiful the world was until I got those spectacles. 50 years ago last fall, I experienced that same feeling of clarity. My third grade teacher figured out I couldn't see the blackboard unless I sat in the front row. She advised my parents to take me to an optometrist. I sat in an imposing medical chair, my legs not long enough to bend down over the curve of the seat. I could hardly find the eye chart on the opposing wall, let alone read all but the biggest black E at top, maybe a row or two lower. He went through the routine while flipping lenses in front of my eyes, one by one. Is this sharper? Or this one? This was a test I was intent on passing. Getting glasses in 1963 took a while, like most anything of substance. About a month later, my mother announced my glasses were ready. They were brown plastic horn rims, likely the least expensive on the racks. My parents were frugal by necessity. The optician put the specs on my tiny nose, made minor adjustments, and pronounced me ready to see the real world. It was late September in Concord, New Hampshire, the picturesque city in which I was born and still enjoy visiting. The leaves were beginning to turn, since autumn gets a minimum month-long head start on the season here in East Texas. I walked outside the optometrist's office, which was in downtown Concord, a few blocks from the golden-gilded Capitol Dome. I looked upward with my new glasses and became nearly dizzy. The beauty of those leaves turning apple red, squash yellow, and burnt orange took my breath away. I soon learned the high price of being careless with my glasses. Our crazed Airedale dog once ate a pair, lenses and all. That left me squinting for at least a week before another set could be secured. I lost another pair in the surf at Galveston while on a Boy Scout trip after we moved to Texas. That earned me the wrath of my mother because of the cost. Notwithstanding the miserable few days left on the trip when I couldn't really see how much fun everyone was having. Like Teddy Roosevelt and untold numbers of myopic children before and since, including my nephew, I was amazed to actually see the world's beauty, which heretofore seemed a bit fuzzy. I enjoy wearing glasses. At night when I'm tired and the world is weighing down, I can put them aside and go to sleep. And the burdens of the world become fuzzy and indistinct.
Commentator Gary Borders is at the head of the class, sporting his spectacles. He teaches journalism at Kilgore College and comes our way every Friday morning at 7:35.